As Father mentioned at the beginning of Mass, today we celebrate the 32nd Sunday in Ordinary Time. In only 2 weeks, we'll celebrate the Solemnity of Christ the King. That celebration marks the end of the church year. Then comes the season of Advent. In these few weeks, as the liturgical year draws to a close, the church presents for us at Mass readings that speak to us about the end of this world, Jesus' second coming, and the future reality of heaven. The church turns our hearts and minds to the future so as to help guide us in the present. The readings today place the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come front and center. The reading from Maccabees speaks of resurrection, as does the gospel. I believe one could even make the case that what Paul writes to the Thessalonians speaks to the reality of the resurrection. I'll speak mostly to the gospel passage in which Jesus has an exchange with Sadducees, who, as the text states, deny that there is a resurrection. It might be helpful, first of all, to say a little about who the Sadducees were. They were a sect of the Jews whose role in Jewish life was partly political, partly religious. They accepted only the Torah, books believed to have been written by Moses, as authentic scripture. They denied an afterlife with rewards and punishments for the righteous and the wicked. They did not believe in the immortality of the soul or the resurrection of the body, as we have said. Neither did they believe in the existence of angels or spirits. It is out of this background and perspective that the Sadducees posed their question to Jesus about the woman widowed 7 times over. What amounts to a kind of riddle. In the scenario they presented to Jesus, the Sadducees were concerned about providing children for the widow because they believed in the necessity of children for the perpetuation of life of the deceased husband and for the inheritance of property. Lacking a vision of the eternal, the Sadducees operated from a frame of reference limited to societal principles and human institutions. They believed in the reality of this world to the exclusion of the reality of heaven. Now, for his part, Jesus speaks the good news, and he never misses an opportunity to teach and to correct misunderstandings. This was his approach to the Sadducees. In his response, he affirms the resurrection of those who are deemed worthy to attain to the coming age. What Jesus teaches in today's passage, and indeed throughout the Gospels, is this. The truest reality is that of heaven. What people experience on earth should conform to eternity and not the other way around. Jesus teaches us about the future reality of heaven so that we will know how to act in the present. A few years ago, Father Paul Callahan, a professor in Rome, wrote a book about the last things, those ultimate realities the church is asking us to think about at the close of the church year. In an interview about the book, he said this, "Many Christians know how they should act, but don't manage to do so because they've lost hope. They've given up." He continues, "Some Christians are afraid to speak about the last things. This is understandable since it's not easy to describe in detail what the afterlife consists of. But people are looking for answers, often desperately so. They're looking for something to give them hope, to keep them going, to make love meaningful, to make life worth living. What Jesus teaches about the reality of heaven and our capacity to attain it, in what our true destiny consists, is the message of this hope. Pope Emeritus Benedict wrote about the revolutionary nature of this hope among early Christians, how radically it differed from the pagan outlook of the time. He referred to an epitaph of that period. How quickly we fall back from nothing to nothing. In contrast to this hopelessness stand Christians, then and now. In the Pope's words, a people distinguished by the fact that they have a future. It is not that they know the details of what awaits them, but they know in general terms that their life will not end in emptiness. How we act in the present has to do with how we make sense out of our own life and our own experiences. We suffer, we experience grief, loss, disappointment, we fear death. What does it all mean? Jesus' message of hope informs our understanding of all these experiences. About this hope, Pope Benedict wrote, "We have been given hope, trustworthy hope, by virtue of which we can face our present. The present, even if it is arduous, can be lived and accepted if it leads towards a goal, if we can be sure of this goal, and if the goal is great enough to justify the effort of the journey." How we act in the present has to do as well with how we treat the people we encounter. Love your neighbor as yourself. It all comes down to charity. "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth," says the Lord, "but store up treasures in heaven. For where your treasure is, there also will your heart be." As Pope Benedict noted, Christians are a people that know they have a future, although they don't know the details. Theologians through the centuries have sought to account for what awaits us in heaven, but it remains mysterious. St. Augustine wrote about the one thing. He wrote, "Should we not rather say with the psalmist, 'One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple.'" The thing referred to is the one true and only happy life, in which immortal and incorruptible, in body and spirit, we may contemplate the joy of the Lord. The life of heaven will be an experience of joy. Pope Benedict wrote further, "The one who has hope lives differently. The one who hopes has been granted the gift of a new life." As Christians, we acknowledge this gift and we're grateful for it. Nevertheless, we're all too aware that we can drift into that misunderstanding of reality out of which the Sadducees lived. We can fall into the trap of believing that the concerns of this world are ends in themselves, rather than seeing the situations of this world as the means to heaven. And losing sight of the resurrection, we seek to fulfill our hopes and find all our meaning in the present. With God's grace, may we remain steadfast in hope. and keep our eyes fixed on heaven.